Those of you who can, please stand with me and we'll read God's word together. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And skipping over to chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. We have been in 1 Thessalonians for some time already, for all the further that we have gotten. But I believe it has been a good study because we've seen just how thankful Paul is and the various ways that he is thankful for what God was doing in and through the Thessalonian believers. And as unlikely as it may have seemed, last week we said that God was the one who had ordained persecution and that Paul was actually thankful for that because that was the way that they had received the word in much affliction. But we also said that that affliction, that persecution, had a purpose. Today, we are going to see God's purpose. Persecution causes rapid spread of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. Last week, we said that Paul said that not only had the Thessalonian believers welcomed the word, but they welcomed the word even in the midst of much affliction. And we said that that Greek word was what? Phlipsis. Lots of affliction, tribulation, difficulty, a time of pressure. That came along with the coming of the word, with the reception of the word of God. And they also had the joy of the Holy Spirit, we see there in verse 6. We even went so far, as I already said, to say that God had ordained it, and they were going through all of this difficulty because God wanted it. God chose for it to happen. And God's purpose is clear here as we now add verses 7 and 8 to verse 6. The good news that Jesus saves was spreading rapidly. Now, if you remember the maps that we had when we first started out, maybe you still have yours with you, but I'll just show you this one. We remember that Paul started out in Syrian Antioch, and he actually went back through Galatia, the churches that he had started on his first missionary journey. And then on his second missionary journey, he came through and he wanted to, Donnie even mentioned this morning, that he had wanted to reach the area of Asia, but he did not. And he knew because God spoke to him and said that he gave this Macedonian call that they should go over to Macedonia. And so not only did the people in Philippi hear and the people in Thessalonica hear, but then eventually Paul went on down to Athens and down into Corinth. But this whole area here, which actually is modern-day Greece, was where the Thessalonians began to share the word of God. And then on that third page of notes, or third page of maps, we saw how in the blow-up of the Macedonian area and Achaia area, that in more northern Greece and all the way down into southern Greece, the word of God was being spread. In fact, we had said that the city of Thessalonica at that time was 122,000 people strong, more than actually is in our entire county here. So the gospel spread to the region of Macedonia, the region of Achaia, and it seems that now too the gospel was even beginning to reach Gentiles, because as we'll get into a little bit next week in verse 9, we'll see that Paul says that you turned from idols to the living God. And so that very likely means not only did Paul's preaching in the synagogue reach Jews, but reached Gentiles as well. And so many, many people were beginning to come to faith in Christ because of those few weeks of preaching in the synagogue. And then those people received faith, and then they began to share their faith over and over again, and the gospel began to spread rapidly. When people who do live in spiritual darkness for a long period of time, we see that truth goes out quickly and that the word spreads quickly, and people want to have freedom. They want to be spiritually unbound. When truth goes out that's accompanied by radical change, often shown through love and service, much the way that Jesus lived, and even as we looked at in our Sunday school lesson last week, that remember last week's Sunday school lesson about the man who was in a medical facility, and he began to try to share his faith with tracts, but no one was listening until he picked up a man and carried him to the restroom in the middle of the night and helped clean him up. His faith worked out in his actions, and then once his actions were heard about, what happened? The people said, "Tell me about this God of yours. Who is this Jesus? Give me some of your material." When the word accompanies deed and deed accompanies word, people listen and respond to the truth. Notice what Paul has to say about how this worked out. The Thessalonians became what? They became imitators, he said, of Paul and his companions, and they even mimicked Jesus. That was the word that we said was used there. The word imitators means to mimic. And so the Thessalonians received the truth of the word. They began to do just as Paul had done and share the same message, just as Paul's companions, Silas and Timothy, had done, just as Jesus did, share the message. They became imitators. And they welcomed the word with flipsis, with affliction, and with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Then the passage goes on and says this, so that you became, and this is verse 7, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. That word there, example, and these definitions are in your notes there, is the word, it's the Greek word typos, which means to strike. It actually comes with kind of the thought of making a blow, striking a blow, making an impression as if a form would be pushed into the wax, and making an impression, leaving a mark, leaving a stamp, forming an image or an imprint or a model. And so he's saying, you became an example. We modeled for you. We were an example for you. And now you are modeling and being an example for others. What is it that Donna tells us all the time in Sunday school? Our actions speak louder than words. I don't know that I'm quoting her exactly, but something to that effect, that our actions speak louder than words. And clearly here, this was an example of actions and word going together and making an impact in believers, in non-believers' lives by these believers in Thessalonica spreading the truth of the gospel. So as believers in Jesus, we have the awesome responsibility and awesome privilege of sharing the truth of why we do what we do. But we can't just do what we do without saying why we do it. Paul goes on to say in verse 8 that the word sounded forth. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere so that we need not say anything. The word that is used there of sounded forth is where we get our word echo from. It's a like striking a gong, the reverberating sound, or a clanging, no, not a clanging cymbal in the negative effect that we know it from Scripture, but a cymbal and how it that sound just continues to go on for some time. And it's even almost like a rolling thunder, like when we hear thunder and it rolls through the valley. We know that that's something that it didn't start right when it came to us. It started somewhere way further away. And in the same sense, the word that is used here is only used this one place in the Bible. The only place it's used. And Paul says that the word of the Lord sounded forth, it reverberated. It was like that gong being struck and it went out and it made waves and reached many, many people. Paul goes on to say that the faith of the Thessalonians was contagious in deed and in word, so much so that it seems as if maybe some of the plans that he had of visiting some other areas, he didn't have to. And that allowed him the freedom to stay in Corinth for the year and a half that he was there. Okay, so maybe we aren't fully convinced because this is so long ago. Right? This was first century AD. Maybe we're not fully convinced that God uses persecution to spread the gospel. Maybe you can't really get in touch with this story from history because the world that they lived in, the society that they lived in, was way different than our society today. It seems sometimes, like here in America, we think that the way church growth happens is through great men, great evangelists that hold these great crusades. Men like Billy Graham, who literally went around the world. Other men like Reinhard Bonnke, who is German but has worked for years in Africa and supposedly has literally seen millions of people come to faith in Christ. Or Louis Palau, who works in both North and South America. They have these great gatherings where literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people attend. The gospel goes forth and people respond to that. As I shared recently, Karen and I had the opportunity to be at a Billy Graham crusade. And it's a wonderful thing, and there's nothing the matter with that. But according to Scripture, it seems as if the word spreads through deed, through sharing the word, and through persecution. That's the way it happened in the book of Acts. Let's think about some of the places, instead of evangelists, let's think about some of the places around the world that at the end of the 20th century, the gospel was spreading and the underground church was growing, and people were coming to faith in Christ by the hundreds, by the thousands. Where was that happening? China, North Korea. Are China and North Korea open to the gospel? No. They're communist countries. Now, China, to some degree, has allowed certain churches to be registered with the state, with the country, and they've allowed some of that. But if you watch anything or listen to anything at all in the news, you'll see, or especially keep in touch at all with Voice of the Martyrs, you'll see that the church in China is beginning to be dismantled. Crosses are being taken down off of buildings. Pastors are being arrested. Even though they have registered with the state to be an official church, they make that paperwork go away, and then they say that this is an illegal church, and they put the pastor in prison. They take the cross down off the building. They say that this building is now confiscated, and you're no longer allowed to meet here. And in North Korea, the church has never been recognized. The gospel is illegal. It's against the law to carry a Bible into North Korea. It has to be done under the cover of darkness, under just passing the word along without anyone knowing. And so those are two places where in the 20th century, the church was growing like crazy, and it was growing in part because of the persecution. God has a purpose and a goal in persecution, and it's no less so today. I really wanted to show you the video instead of just read this story to you, but I found that the video disappeared. I don't know why. I don't know where it went. But I was fortunately able to find the story. This was from actually right about a month ago. I initially saw it on CBN News, but it was taken from CBN News to Christian Lens Online News, if you wanted to try to look it up online. And the title of the piece is, "While Iran and U.S. Go Head-to-Head, Iranians Are Turning Their Hearts to Jesus." Listen to this story. Again, I really wish I could have showed us the video, but listen to this story. It may surprise you that the fastest growing church in the world is in Iran. Yet that's the assessment of those who have seen and heard the remarkable story of millions turning away from Shiite Islam and turning toward Jesus Christ. The image Iran presents to the world is large demonstrations with shouts of death to America, death to Israel. Those who have seen Iran from the inside, however, paint a very different picture. You can't believe the images on TV, and this is a gentleman being quoted. You can't believe the images on TV because, for example, all the protests you see on the streets, they are mostly contrived. There are young people in the streets, and they're told that if we don't go to the streets, we won't get our grades, so we're forced to go and protest, one Iranian church worker said. He spoke to CBN News on condition of anonymity. He says there are two Irans, the one you see on the news and the other hidden from the world. I would say there's a 10% Iran and a 90% Iran. 10% control the country in a more oppressive manner, this hardline religious manner, and then the majority of the people, 90% of the people, love America and Americans. They think that's the message that Americans need to hear. They tell us all the time, we don't hate Americans, we love America. This gentleman wants Americans to know that 40 years after the Iran's Islamic Revolution, there's another spiritual revolution under the way. Awaken to the truth that we live in a time that's very special. More people have come to faith in Iran in the last 40 years than in the previous 1400. So there's a once, not not once only in a lifetime, but once in history, where we have a movement where Iranians are coming to faith at such a rapid rate. Frontier Alliance International is producing a documentary called Sheep Among Wolves to introduce the Iranian church to Christians worldwide. And I would suggest they're actually, I believe it's the 23rd of August, I think, that they're coming out with the second movie. The movie is free. The first one was done, I think, in 2015, and it's called Sheep Among Wolves. The second one is Sheep Among Wolves 2. But that's done by Frontier Alliance International. I would suggest that if you have an opportunity to see that, you do. What's taking place in Iran right now is spectacular, says FAI founder and director Dalton Thomas. It's the fastest growing church in the world that owns no buildings, has no 501c3s, that owns no property, that has no bank accounts, that has no centralized leadership, that has no denominational leaning, and yet it's multiplying like crazy. What the Lord is doing there is staggering. The evangelism results in intense persecution that Thomas says leads Iranian believers to seek prayer, but not in the way we might think. Typically, the way we pray is we expect that they want us to pray for the persecution to end. Listen to this. They say, no, don't pray that way. Persecution is growing the church. When the persecution stops, the growth stops. What we want is the gospel to spread far and wide and deep in Iran. With the Iran and U.S. seemingly on the brink of war, Thomas says it's important to see what's happening behind the Iranian veil. When Muslims from Iran come in contact with the man from Nazareth, something beautiful happens. And when they realize that they have been bought and saved and purchased with Jewish blood prophesied by Jewish prophets in a Jewish Bible, something crazy happens. Something beautiful happens. And that's what we are seeing take place in Iran. And Thomas believes that one day the world may wake up to find Iran's church growth in the 21st century rivaling that what happened in China and North Korea in the 20th century. God, today, right today, as we're sitting here, is using persecution in places like Iran to grow his church. And I saw a video just yesterday from another gentleman from Global Catalytic Ministries who is from this region as well. And he's saying they're beginning to see the gospel spread out of Iran into Afghanistan and some of the other places in that section of the world, that it's really beginning to grow and change. Now do you see why Paul can say with great confidence that he is thankful that the word was received and welcomed with affliction? Because the purpose was being met. The gospel was advancing in word and deed, and people were turning from idols to the living God. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 8, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. In your notes is a quote from the InterVarsity Press New Testament commentary on 1 Thessalonians. And it says this: our lives have a purpose oriented beyond ourselves, beyond our own holiness and well-being. We are to become molds. That's from that word, type. We are to become molds for others who are not Christians or who are younger Christians than we are. The essence of discipleship is imitation. As we become more conformed to the image of Christ, we are to live in such a way that others would be influenced by our lives and so become conformed also to Christ's image. We need to remember that people learn from models caught as well as ideas taught. God used persecution to rapidly spread the gospel in the book of Acts. God is currently using persecution to spread the gospel to some of the darkest regions of the world today. And people are coming to faith in Christ by droves. Maybe we can't go, but we can pray. And their request is, don't pray that the persecution will stop. Pray that God will use it for the gospel to spread. We can also give. But I think what we need to pull from this passage, looking at how God worked in the first century and how God is working now once again around the world, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the church began that way with persecution, and it seems as if the church is moving toward an end that way with persecution as well. You see, the gospel is unstoppable. When it goes forth, it will do what God desires it to do. Paul was thankful for the unstoppable gospel. May we be as thankful as well, and may we properly interpret the signs of the times to recognize how we can be involved in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this encouraging word that despite the difficulties, despite the affliction, despite the tribulation, despite the Greek word phlipsis happening to these people, they had the joy of the Holy Spirit, and that was contagious. They were going out and reaching others with the good news of Jesus Christ, the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. And I remember, Lord, watching this video just yesterday, where this man was saying in Iran, when he goes around and he's smiling, and despite the fact that the inflation is so high, and what used to cost $5 now costs 15 or 20, and how the difficulty of the people were so worried that how are we going to feed our families, and what if our country does take us into war with America, what will happen to us and our country and our families? When they see these believers in Christ smiling and laughing and enjoying life, they say, how can you do that? And the door opens, and the gospel shared, and people come to faith in Christ. Father, may we be people who, when we see others round about us in difficulty, in affliction, in tribulation, that we, Lord, would be the first to say, trust in Jesus. Give him your life. Give him your heart. Father, use us for your glory, for your honor, and help us, Father, to do whatever it is that you put on our hearts to do for the church around the world. The underground church, the hidden church, the church that is growing, just like in the book of Acts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.